on. There we go. All right. We're going to revisit because I had a special request last Lord's Day that since I only got through one point of my last sermon, that I finished the sermon off and about prayer, answers promised. And Jesus talks here about not giving up in prayer. I want to begin with a special story. My grandfather, Charles Thacker, and my grandmother, Pearl, have been married and had several kids, but my grandpa, Charlie, was an alcoholic. And when he would come home from working at the cotton mill, my grandmother, she saw him coming down the old dirt road, old time North Carolina. She would tell the kids to go ahead and scatter. Because when she could tell he was drunk walking home, there was going to be beatings. He was one of those rowdy, violent drunks. And I hate that kind of drunk. I can't stand him. Every time I see one of them, I just want to knock him out to save the world the rest of the trouble he's going to cause that night. But he was that way. My grandmother, she had been saved. I don't know if you ever remember the old-time gospel hour with Oliver B. Green. But he was really famous back east. And a lot of people had got religion or gotten saved in one of the big Oliver B. Green tent revivals. Very famous evangelist in his day. Well, my grandmother, Pearl, and her brother, my Uncle Harrison, had come to Christ through his preaching in the gospel. And it was he was a good preacher. He was a little mixed up with dispensationalism. But Oliver B. Green had preached faithfully and had come to little towns like Reedsville, North Carolina, where my Uncle Harrison and my Grandma Pearl, they heard him preach and they gave themselves to the Lord and they lived a life dedicated to Christ. Well, my Grandpa Charlie, he was mean, but my Grandma Pearl, she never left him because she had heard from a preacher that even though she's getting beaten, even though the kids might get whooped around, that divorce was sin. So she stayed with him instead of leaving him. She prayed for him. And the whole church there, College Park Baptist Church in Reedsville, North Carolina, prayed for him every Wednesday night. During their prayer meeting, the ladies would go apart by themselves, and the men would go apart by themselves, and after a message from the Bible, then they'd have their prayer meeting for 30 years. 30 years. My grandmother went through this. 30 years. Every Wednesday night, she prayed for him. Don't you think that she ever felt like just giving up or getting mad at Jesus and saying, listen, I keep praying for this man. He's still the rascal. He's still mean as the devil. He's still drinking. Why should I pray for him anymore? The ladies here must be thinking that I'm bad or something, that you don't answer my prayer. She could have went that way, but no, she said, no, she just kept on praying for him. And the ladies in the church kept praying for him. And then the call came one night. They had the sound room at the back of the church. By the way, I was saved just a couple miles away from that church and ended up going to church there myself. And that's where God called me to preach. College Park Baptist Church in Reedsville, North Carolina. And so the call came into the sound room in case it was like an emergency or somebody was needed. It would be a phone. You couldn't hear it because it was soundproof PA system room. And my Uncle Paul answered it. And my Uncle Paul was the last born from my Grandpa Charlie and my Grandma Pearl. The phone rang and it was my Grandpa Charlie. And he was going through the DTs. He was seeing everything weird around him. And God had brought him to the end of himself. And he said, son, please come pick me up. He said, Dad, where do you want me to take you? He says, I'm coming to church. I'm coming to church. So my Uncle Paul left the sound room, went and picked up my grandpa, brought him to church just as the preacher saw him coming in. He changed his message to the gospel. He was teaching Christians, encouraging them. But when he saw my grandpa Charlie and knew they'd been praying for him for so long, he just spoke about Christ and his salvation, how it's only in him. Simple, plain clearly to the heart. In other words, basically, it's Jesus or hell for you, Charlie. You've got to give your heart. You've got to believe on him. You've got to cast your eternal soul into his nail-scarred hands, or you're going to hell. That night, the preacher gave an invitation. Didn't always do that on Wednesdays, hardly ever. But that night he said, if any of you need me to pray with you, if you want to know what it is to be saved and go to heaven, he's especially speaking to my grandfather, who was trembling at the time, please come forward. I'd like to pray with you up here. And so if a man's under conviction of the Holy Spirit, like my grandfather was, I don't believe in the invitation system where, like at the Billy Graham Crusades, they have certain people that are supposed to go forward, that are planned to go forward, so it encourages other people to go forward. And there's other tricks that they use, psychological. But basically, the preacher was pointing at my grandpa, and my grandpa went forward, and as he went forward, he took out a little pint of whiskey, put it on the altar there at the church, took out his cigarettes out of his pocket, laid them there after he gave his heart to Christ. And from that night, that Wednesday night, to the day my grandfather died, he never missed a church service. If you go to the third, it's the third or fourth rope, I'm pretty sure it's the third, on the right-hand side of College Park Baptist Church, you'll see a little brass plaque on the side. It said, this pew donated by Charlie and Pearl Thacker. My grandpa was a Christian for many years after that night of his conversion. And to the day he died, he loved the name of Jesus. He always helped out at the church, whether it was mowing the lawn or trimming the trees or anything like that. But he never took another drink of liquor. He never smoked another cigarette. And see, you can have some liquor as long as it's in moderation. The Bible doesn't forbid drinking. It forbids drunkenness, being the under the inebriating control of any foreign substance. You know, I knew people that could get drunk on eating so much chocolate. Well, the Bible forbids that too. And so the same thing with smoking. There's not a command in the scripture that says, thou shalt not smoke. But the Bible does say that we are to protect the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you can bring that principle over and say, you know, if you're smoking, that's you're hurting the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then they could answer you saying, well, so is you drinking that Coca-Cola. Yeah, that's true. So be careful who you're pointing fingers at, because you're pointing fingers at somebody, you got three of them pointing right back at you. Well, you shouldn't be smoking. Well, you shouldn't be eating that Three Musketeers bar, that Snickers. That's right. That's true. So let's come to the scripture here once again in Luke chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 5. The first part of it is the disciples are asking Jesus to teach them to pray. Now, Jesus teaches them how to pray, what to include in their prayers, but then in verse 5, he answers their requests in teaching them to pray. And that's what I want to do with you. I can give you wonderful lessons, and it would warm your heart what the scriptures say about how to pray. And you would be directed on how to pray. That would be wonderful. But what if you know how to pray, but you don't pray? So to pray is more important than how to pray, to actually pray. And that's just to be honest with God. He already knows you anyway. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. Jesus talked about this. He said, don't be like the heathen who repeat vain repetitions. You know, where the same prayer is said at grace for 25 years or the same prayer is made at Thanksgiving for 25 years. When we come to God, we must be honest about what we want, what we need. What we're asking for, it should be completely honest. We don't need to put on the veneer and put on the dog or bring in tap dancers and marching bands and all this fal de rol. No. Some people, I've asked people to pray sometimes, and Lord bless all the missionaries in China and all these things on this bespeckled starlit night, Lord. We get to the point. Get to what you want. Get to what's important. Get to what God lays on your heart. God doesn't care about all our flowery etiquette or our knowledge in prayer. He wants us to be honest with him and have real fellowship, not some fake kind of ritual or religion type of thing. Get to him and ask him like Peter did when he started to drown as he was walking on the sea, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. Peter didn't say, "Lord, I came to you out here walking on the water on this beautiful stormy night, and I'm now beginning to sink, and I'm fretting that I might become fearful." No, he said, "Lord, save me." I'd rather say, "Lord, save me," and get help than to go, "Lord, I come to you on the glub, glub, glub," and sink. Right? Amen? So prayer, people sometimes have said to me over the years, and I understand not wanting to pray out loud if you're afraid you might ask for something that would be unbiblical, or that if you're afraid that you would embarrass yourself, or that in some cases you think that God is so holy and prayer is so important that maybe you feel introverted about it, because like Mary in the Gospels, it says over 2 or 3 times, Mary didn't say anything. She just kept these things and pondered them in her heart. But the thing is if you do pray and you are asked to pray in public, get to the point. Why are you here? What are you seeking? You're doing business with Almighty God that knows everything. And Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees that for pretense make long prayers and say all these things like, "Lord, I thank you that I fast twice in the week and that I give tithes of all that I possess. And Lord, I'm not like this publican over here." But the publican prayed to God, short but sweet, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Remember that? "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And in the Greek, it means about the blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat. And what he's saying, this publican, this despised tax collector, the Jews hated them. Now, they looked down on the tax collectors more than they did the Samaritans. And this tax collector saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, that one went to his house, a child of God. While the Pharisee, the very religious man who made the long prayers, he went to hell. Religious but lost. That's the story of so many in our world today. Religious but lost. All the Mormon places with their fancy buildings and all their fancy cars and their fancy suits, one thing they have in common, they're all heading for hell. All these priests dressed up in their robes, people calling them father when they're dressed like a mother, going to hell, right? Wearing their dresses, looking at the little choir boys. I don't want to get into all that stuff, but the Catholic religion is corrupt. From head to toe, it's corrupt. It is a false religion. Oh, but they believe in the Trinity. Yes, they do, and they pray to Mary, too. Some of them pray to Mary more than they do Jesus, because they look at Jesus as harsh, and that Mary, the mother of God, they say, she sweetens him up, because we all want to do things for our sweet little mama. So Jesus answers your prayers because Mary asked him to. That's crazy. And we can go through the list of it. So pray sincerely, pray honestly, pray earnestly. And so we're taught to pray in a way that we don't have to think of ourselves, what word can I use? What Bible verse can I quote? What do I think that we need to pray for the most? Pray as God lays things on your heart, honestly, where you are right now, who you are right now, sincerely from your soul. So remember, we talked about this. Jesus is the Son of God. He was tempted in the wilderness, but he would never sin. It's impossible for God to sin. Twice or three times the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie, or God cannot lie. It's beyond his nature. God wouldn't even consider lying. you're considered forgiving liars. Aren't you glad about that? But he cannot lie. He cannot change. He's always been perfect and always will remain perfect. And so Jesus could not sin. He didn't have any weaknesses towards sin or sinful thoughts or sinful words or making a white lie or anything like that or putting on a veneer of somebody that he wasn't. You know, when you pretend to be somebody that you're not or you exaggerate, it's a fancy way of saying you're lying, you're deceiving. And we all do that to one degree or another. If I'm around a bunch of rough guys, all of a sudden I find myself, I start acting rough. When I'm really just a fuzzy, harmless little teddy bear inside, right? So the thing is that we come short in many things. Now, what I mean by that is Jesus prayed always, morning, noon, night, every moment he was in relationship with the Father, always speaking to him. In fact, he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. In other words, I'm always praying and you're always listening. Constant fellowship with heaven and his heavenly Father. And if he who could not sin, and he who is God himself in perfect human flesh, if he prayed so much, he would stay up all night in prayer. If he saw the great need of prayer, how much more should we be in constant communication with heaven? Doesn't the Bible tell us pray without ceasing? Praying always with all prayer and supplication of spirit. Jesus taught us, I desire that all men should pray and not lose heart. In other words, don't quit praying. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. If God has placed this desire on your heart, then it's his intention to give it to you. And if it's so big and your dream is so big and your desire is so big, then how much are you going to glorify God when he gives it to you? How much are you going to tell other people, oh, don't worry, baby, God answers prayer. Let's pray. Come on, brother, let's pray about this. And where two or three shall agree in prayer as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 18. And that word agree is the Greek word symphonia. Does that sound like anything to you? Symphonia. Symphony. It means harmony. A symphony may have intricate parts, but it all comes together as one unit. The symphony makes up one song. And so if you pray with anyone, I wish I could go on and say more. Let me just say this. There are places in the Bible where one person prays and it's not answered. But there are never one place in the Bible where more than one person is praying to God where the answer doesn't come. You say, well, what about if they didn't have faith? Remember when Peter was in jail and they were going to kill him, execute him the next day? And the church that was at Rhoda's house was praying? And they weren't believing so much, but they were praying just as it were for the comfort of their own hearts. Lord, please set Peter free. Lord, please save him before they execute him. And they're praying that night. Next thing they know, they hear a knock at the gate. Little girl goes out named Rhoda. And she's shocked. She says, it's Peter. And she runs back in before opening the gate. She said, hey, everybody, the guy we're praying for, Peter, he's at the gate. Should I let him in? He's at the gate. And I said, what was their reaction? No. The church said, no, you're seeing a ghost. She said, this man's no ghost. That's Peter. And so they went out, found it was Peter, began praising God. Was it because of their faith that God answered them? No, they didn't believe that it was Peter out there. God answered our prayers? They couldn't believe it. You know, one of the best things I love about answers to prayer is when it shocks me. And then I castigate myself for saying, you prayed for it. You were supposed to believe it. Now that it's come to pass, you're shocked. You're surprised that God heard you and answered you. That God proved himself faithful again. You shouldn't be shocked. You shouldn't be surprised. Well, I have to move on. It looks like we're going to have a week three on these texts over here because Betty again. But anyways, the lesson here is to persevere in prayer. Keep on praying. It took 30 years for my grandpa to come and be saved. But once he was saved, everything changed. My grandmother had her soulmate that she fell in love with 30 years before that as her companion, as one who would provide and protect instead of cuss and destroy. And he sat next to her in church the rest of their lives together. And so the lesson is, don't be discouraged, because if you'll keep on praying, God will answer you. Say, what if I'm praying for something that I shouldn't be? Well, that's why when you pray, you say, Lord, if I'm praying for something I shouldn't want, change my wanter. And if you are, then he'll change your wanter. He'll change and make you to desire. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We think it means he'll give us the desires of our heart. Yes, after he gives us the desires of our heart. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be given to you. A lot of people like the part, I shall ask what I desire. But they forget the part, if you're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you, then you, in other words, then if we're abiding in Christ and his words abiding in us, that means what we'll ask for will be what's pleasing to him. What we desire will be what's pleasing. If his words abide in us, we'll know right away when we're asking for something wrong. Lord, I want a pink Cadillac like Elvis Presley drove. You know, you see these evangelists like Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and to some degree John Hagee and some others. They're the name it and claim it. Name it and claim it in the blood of Jesus. Kenneth Copeland, by faith. They blab it and grab it, right? No. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we'll have the answer we ask of him, 1 John. And so, if you're abiding in him, you'll know right away if you're asking for something wrong. It's not the pink Cadillac of Elvis I want the gold one. No, I'm teasing you. I just want it to get me to work and back, doing not have me spending so much money on it. And so we talked about why we must pray. So we'll give another review real quick and then we'll come to some fresh ground. We have many needs to be supplied. We have many spiritual needs. Often through the day we should be asking for God's forgiveness and mercy. We should be begging for his grace and strength. We should be asking for his assurance and blessing. We can't be a blessing to others unless he's first blessing us. How can we give others joy and happiness and inspiration or hope if we don't have it? If we're in the mully grubs looking like we've been weaned on dill pickles and lemon juice and our mouths hanging so low it looks like we could eat the grubs out from under the roots of the trees, I can't stand a Christianity like that. I can't bear it. Some Christians, and I'm dead serious, and Reformed Baptists especially, act like a solemnness and a solemn look on the face and a serious look on the face is a sign that you're really spiritual. No, it's not. It's a sign that you're really religious, but you're miserable. You have no joy. What is the most given command in the Bible? We just talked about it. Praise the Lord. Doesn't say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with the cymbals. Praise the Lord with all your heart. Praise the Lord with all your strength. Praise the Lord. Give him thanks. You know, you're going to get a lot more bees with honey than you will with sauerkraut. Amen? And so, the thing that's attractive is that God is to be praised. God is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise no matter what we feel or what we're going through. And so we have many needs to be supplied. And one is assurance and blessing. We ought to be walking around knowing that we're on our way to heaven. You know why? Because we're more likely to share the gospel if we know that we're heading to heaven and that heaven is real than if we have doubts. How can anybody give somebody else the assurance of everlasting life when they don't feel like it themselves, when they're not assured of it themselves, when they don't have that peace themselves, they'll never share it. Because we got to have it, spiritual needs. And so God, bless me with your assurance and your blessing Help me to obey your verses and give all diligence to make my calling and election sure. We need wisdom for decisions. We need purity of mind and purity of heart so that we might have the Holy Spirit's help being a convicting influence on others. Sometimes I come to church and you might feel, well, I haven't read my Bible enough this week. We haven't prayed. I come to church the same way. I come to church feeling that I need God. I come to church and look at you as though you're closer to Jesus than me, than I am, in more correct grammar. You see, but if I'll talk to God about it and I'll get my sins taken care of and under the blood, then I can have that joy, that peace, that assurance that God forgives sins. Remember when Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What were his next word? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to comfort the righteous. He came here to save sinners. Jesus said, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I've come to be a minister, a physician to those who are sick, to give sight to the blind. He came to redeem. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What were his next words? Of whom? I'm the worst. The apostle Paul? Yeah, it was the same apostle that said, the good that I want to do, I don't end up doing. But the evil that I don't want to do, that I end up falling into. Woe is me. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with the mind, the heart, I serve the law of Christ. But with my body, the law of sin. The law of sin is in our members. We're carrying around this old man, this old carnal nature, till Jesus comes. We need to pray, is what I'm saying. Because of the creatures we are, we need to pray. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't mean that you will never have those thoughts. Just means you'll never follow through on them. In other words, like Martin Luther said about evil thoughts, and Charles Spurgeon also said it as well, and D.L. Moody, that's three of them that said it. We can't keep the birds from flying over our head. We can't keep evil thoughts from coming into our heart and mind. We can't keep the birds from flying over our head, but we can keep them from building a nest on our head. We can't stop thoughts of envy or thoughts of jealousy or thoughts of disdain that somebody as wicked and vile and ugly and murderous as Bill Gates should have billions and billions of dollars. You know, sometimes I just feel like, well, the evil these people are, Joe Biden, he's evil. If I saw him, I'd punch him right in the face. I'd want to hit him as hard as I could. But it's not right for me to feel that way. So I need to pray. Pray, Jesus, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if anybody doesn't know what in the world they're doing, that's Joe Biden. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. And that is the idol of most politicians. That is the Moloch they bow to. That is their false god. And a politician will sell their own mother, brother, sister, daddy down the line for just one vote. For just one vote, they'll sell out everybody. They'll lie to you. You ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite years ago? There's a high school kid named Pedro running for class president. And what was his promise to the high school? Vote for me, and all your wildest dreams will come true. That's what they all say, right? That's what they vote for me, and all your wildest dreams will come true. It's not true. They're lying. They want your money. They want the power. They want the influence. And so we'll have to close here in just a few moments, but we have many needs to be supplied. But we have the promises of God. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And in verse 13 of our passage, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? So this is to pray. This is our inspiration of prayer. Luke 11 and verse 5. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Notice he puts it, we're the ones asking. He says, which of you have a friend, would not go to him at midnight, a very inconvenient hour, and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for another friend has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Which in that culture, you always feed someone who comes to visit you. Always feed someone who comes to visit you. You at least offer, hey, can you stay and have lunch? Hey, can you stay and have dinner? Like we used to have the fellowship dinners at Philip and Ellen's house. You know, if we just stop by during the week. We know that from what Philip said this morning, she's got something cooked that's either frozen or in the refrigerator that I bet you if you stay long enough, come in to say, I needed to talk to you about something. She and Philip are not going to offer you something to drink and something to eat. Well, you take that into the Middle Eastern cultures. And when you have a visitor, you have to offer them something to eat and a place to sleep if it's at night. It's just unheard of. They'll consider you repugnant, very rude and disgusting if you don't. In fact, not only them, but everybody who knows that you didn't take care of them. And so, verse 5 again, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Notice he doesn't even have the money to pay for it. And so when we come to God in prayer, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your grace I cling. I don't have anything to offer you. I'm not very religious. I'm not very spiritual. Lord, I work a lot. And to tell you the truth, when I come to my Bible to read, I fall asleep or I forget what I just read. And Lord, when I come to pray, 100 thoughts begin coming through my mind. God, I'm not very good, but I thank you for giving me your son. I am your child. I do love you, not as much as I should, but I do love you. You're the only friend I have who can help me. And Lord, I know it's not the Sunday morning in church, but I need you. It may be midnight, and I may be like, it seems like I'm imposing on you. I don't have anything, but I'm asking you if you would lend it to me, Lord, I would try to make up for it. I will try to walk with you more. I'll try to be a better son or daughter to you. So, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, see, this is why we need to be encouraged to pray. To pray. Verse 7. And he will answer, this friend of yours, who's God, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble with me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now let me ask you a question. I'll be honest in answer to the question. Have you ever felt that way when you went to pray to God? He's saying, it seems like the ceiling is steel and the earth is brass, and that your prayers aren't going anywhere. You can't feel his presence. You don't feel faith moving in your heart towards God. You feel like he's not listening and that he's far away from you. Can I tell you something? I felt that way so many times in my spiritual life. I felt that God wasn't hearing me. God didn't care. And he's saying, go away. My children are with me in bed. You know, in our culture, we have bedrooms. In that ancient culture, everybody slept on the floor in the main quarters. You didn't have a shower room. You did. The only other room you really had was up on the balcony or above the house where you could cool off in the evening in a hot culture like that, kind of like the Philippines, a very hot culture. In the Philippines, even humid, it's tropical. It's hard not to get sick there if you first go there. But soon the humidity will have its purifying influence as you begin to sweat out the toxins from your body. And but anyways, to move on, I felt like that God was not listening to me over and over. But then I was so happy that God answered my prayer in spite of my lack of faith, in spite of my frustration that I felt like he didn't even care or that he wasn't watching. I don't know if you've ever felt like, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe you sinned. Maybe you got mad. Maybe you said things you shouldn't say. Maybe instead of just stopping by the buffet at the casino, you wasted a few bucks gambling or something like that. Now you feel bad, right? You say, I don't know if God hears me anymore. But you're his child. And he's your, in this passage, a friend. He's your friend. You know, the Bible says, he that has friends must show himself friendly. And, if you can complete it with me, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. Jesus said, you are my friends. A greater love has no man than this. We were talking about this the other day, Philip. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who's our best friend? Who laid down his life for us? Who loves us more? Only Jesus. Remember, he came for sinners like you and me. We have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, our sinfulness. And he commands us to come boldly to him in prayer that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have to close here. But in fact, we might not ever get through this sermon. I'm just warning you. I love you. But what I want you to do is learn to pray. And what happens? Does this man go away with the loaves for his friend? Yeah, Jesus teaches that in the next verse. He says, yet though I tell you, he will not give them the loaves because he is his friend. He will give him what he asked for because he knows this guy won't go away till he gets it. It's like the ducks that I said you're feeding. One that comes up, stepping on your feet, making the loudest noise, might be the ugliest duck in the bunch, but he's going to get it. Why? He's not going to leave you alone. He's hungry. He's thirsty. And so this desire that we have to God, that we have for his blessing, the effectual, fervent prayer, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, to be zealous in prayer. A little while back, Betty was giving me some of Jim's old books, and in that pile was a hard copy of a book that I had in paperback that I had sold to have the money to move down here to California to care for my dying mom. I had read that book in paperback. It was called Heaven Taken by Storm, by Thomas Watson. I think Philip has it on his bookshelf. If you haven't read it, Philip, it's about setting you on fire. It's about setting zeal to your Christian life. And one of the subjects he brings up is prayer. How zealous do you have to be up at midnight begging God, who it feels like he doesn't care about you at the time, lend me three loaves. And for God to say, okay, here you go, because I know you're not going to quit. I know you're not going to stop praying for this. So here you go. And let's pray. Father, we pray you bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 Brother Philip Simmons, if you would come at this time. And we'll ask God's blessing.